Well, good morning. Welcome to worship with Trinity United Methodist Church. It's great to see you here and coming in. My name is Steve Price. I'm one of the pastors of the congregation and delighted to welcome you today. If you're here for the first time, we're especially glad to welcome you and so glad that you've chosen to spend this time with us. I hope that you will take a moment, whether you're here for the first time or you're here all the time, and let us know that you have shared this time with us. There's a connection card inside your bulletin. And if you'll just fill that out, if you're new, with as much information as you are comfortable with, you'll also see on that card a place where if you have a particular prayer concern today, we invite you to share that, and there is a team that would be happy to pray for you as well as the pastors. And those can all be placed in the offering plate a little bit later in today's service. I want to tell you about our mission box today. Every week, Trinity provides an opportunity for us to be generous with a ministry that is beyond the doors and walls of our congregation. You see a couple of pictures on the screens of something that is called PET. Now, it has nothing to do with animals except for the humankind. This is personal energy transportation. And PET is an organization that was started right here in our state over in Penny Farms, Florida. There is a place where folks come and volunteer to help put together these pieces of equipment that provide transportation in mostly rural areas in other parts of the world. So particularly in places where there are not good roadways, these vehicles can get folks who have either been landmine victims or have birth defects or for some other reason are unable to walk. They enable these folks to have a means of transportation. You can actually see one out in the narthex today. But this year, PET has set a goal of building 800 of these units. And you can help make that possible with your gifts in the mission box. Those boxes are at each of the exit doors as you leave today. You'll also see in your bulletin a little bit more information about PET and also a text number if you would like to text to give for that mission opportunity instead. Well, again, it's great to have you here today. Every time we come into this place, we come with the sense that God has opened the doors and welcomed us all, and we are all a part of God's family. And so with that, I say to you, welcome home. Would you stand and say good morning to each other as we get ready to worship?
The earth is yours, crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord.
Start the rhythm.
earth is bursting with your glory. And just as your Spirit hovered over all creation when you formed the foundations of our world, may you hover over us now as we worship you in spirit and in truth, and form a firm foundation within us that is rooted deeply in your marvelous love and in the hope of Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God,
having united our voices in worship, singing out praise to God, and having united our voices in declaring our faith together, we now have the opportunity to unite our hearts and go to God in prayer. We all come from different spaces and places around Gainesville for the worship of God in this space this morning, bringing celebrations and joys for God's work in our midst, bringing concerns. This morning we want to celebrate that Trinity's own Lois Reed, who I believe attends the next service, has been a longtime member here at Trinity, is celebrating her 90th birthday today. And so on that milestone birthday, if you happen to know Lois or see her as she comes into the next service, wish her a happy birthday. We also have some concerns that we want to share. You see these names on the screen of folks who are receiving nurture and support from our congregational care team, but also wanted to let you know that Catherine Logan's mother, Wanda Baker's grandmother, Beatrice, passed away on Friday, and so we want to keep Catherine and Wanda in our prayers as they grieve. And then Joyce Buff died last night, and so we want to remember her son David and his wife Mary. You know, when we gather and we come into this space to share in prayer corporately, you know, one of the things that we've done here in recent days has we've united our hearts in prayer about what's happened in our state with the shooting at Parkland just a couple of weeks ago. And as a church, been praying
praying about how we can respond. And you'll know, you might remember that our bishop has invited us all, if we feel so inclined, to offer letters to our elected officials here in the state of Florida. The 5,000 letters campaign, and that is something that we can do as a church. If you felt so inclined to do that, there is a basket in the narthex where we are still collecting those letters. We sent some off already this week, and we're still collecting as you've written them. So let's continue to keep Parkland in our prayers, and all the students at Marjory Stoneman, and just our country in general as we figure out how to navigate these things. And so as we go to this to God in prayer this morning, I'll begin with a moment of silence so that anything that you have on your heart, you can speak to God in the quiet of your heart, and then I will pray for us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come this morning maybe a bit weary from our wandering in the wilderness. Having lost our way, we come with hearts and minds open to your leading. So we pray that you will show us the way. This Lenten season, show us how to grow deeper in our faith, deeper in our love for your Son, Jesus Christ, deeper in our relationships with each other, and deeper in our calling to be your holy church for a world in need. And so we pray, make us your instruments to make things right. Because we know or know of people still kept in poverty or slavery, some in fear from abusers, terrorists, and oppressors, some facing addiction, and some targeted for unjust treatment because of who they are. Make us your instruments to make things right. Because we need courage and integrity from leaders in religious, political, economic, and social life. Because we love and sometimes struggle with our families, friends, and neighbors. And because the lives of those who sustain and protect our lives as military, civilian workers, and first responders are full of challenge and conflict, make us your instruments to make things right. Because we know people who need your healing power, and some who offer healing through their skill and their presence, make us your instruments to make things right. And because Jesus taught us to pray, we listen, obey, and pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We now can unite the resources of our gifts to support the missions of this church by giving back to God from what God has given us. Let us pray as we go to God, worship God with offering. God, indeed, you are the giver of every good thing we enjoy. And give us grateful and joyful hearts as we give back to you now from what you first gave to us. Receive these tithes, these offerings, multiply them, have your will and your way with them.
Good morning, I'm Delaney, and the song today describes those times in our life when we are drowning in life's difficulties like stress, problems, activities, and current events. I myself thought of struggles I've been facing in both the academic and athletic areas of my life. However, the most important thing to remember about this song, I feel, isn't the struggle that the speaker is speaking, but the speaker turns to God for strength and hope. The lyrics of the song, "Lift me up so high that I cannot fall," is a testament to the speaker's belief in God's power. Everyone's lives are built on a foundation, but only a foundation on God can stand when deep trials occur. After researching our Sunlight song for today, I learned that the song "Flood" by Jars of Clay was ironically first performed on a day where the weather was picture perfect. However, I soon realized that it was not, if you wanted to read into it, it wasn't all that ironic. It is during the calm and sunny times in our lives, before the stormy, difficult ones, that we build our strength, and through studying the Bible, participating in mission trips, and coming to church. During the literal construction of a home, the foundation of a house has to be poured on a sunny day. The workers must stop pouring when the rains come, and it is during these rainy times that the strength of the foundation is assessed. Our faith in God is not built on the difficult times, but rather during those times, the foundations we've built on God can be drawn from as a source of strength. Jesus discusses this principle of how we live our lives to be built in his parable about building our lives on a firm foundation. He says in Matthew 7:24-25, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain comes down, the streams rise, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because its foundation is on the rock." During the sunny times in our life, we must make the effort to grow in our faith in God so that during the storms, we can be lifted up so high that we will not fall. Now singing is Delia Savin in Sunlight.
Yeah. sunlight and preach it, Delaney. I think I'm just here to reiterate what you preached to us today. And I am so grateful for your voices, for the voice of teenagers in our community and world right now, not for the future that they hold, but for who they are right now and what they are doing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So this morning, we hear the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is the largest single collection of Jesus' teaching anywhere in the Bible. And this sermon is found in both the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, just in a different location. It's called the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew because it takes place, Jesus says, he went up to the mountain to teach. In Luke, it's the Sermon on the Level Place, or the plain. Jesus was preaching from the plain. It's in those two places. And I think for us sometimes we have heard the Sermon on the Mount and parts of the Sermon on the Mount so many times that we begin to not really hear what it says. We are so familiar with it that it kind of becomes easy to our ears. And yet we need to remember that this was challenging and still is challenging for us, that for its original hearers, it was even completely shocking, these words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. He says to them, when there is conflict, turn the other cheek. Don't just love your neighbors, but love your enemies. He challenged them to use their eyes, not to be filled with darkness, but use their eyes in healthy ways so that they will be filled with light. He tells them not only not to commit adultery, but not even to lust. He tells them not only not to murder, but not to be angry. He tells them to be light and salt so that others will see their good works and give glory to God in heaven. He tells them to, as Steve said last week, starve their worry and feed their faith. And he starts the sermon by reminding them that the ones who are blessed are the ones who are on the margins of life. The poor and the humble and the hopeless. The ones who are broken and those who mourn. The merciful and the peacemakers. The persecuted and the pure in heart. And then at the end of all of that teaching, he warns them. He says not to take these words too lightly, but to really take them to heart. He is clear that when we take these words seriously, that it will lead us to live lives that go against the grain, that what we do will be quite costly and even seemingly impossible. The warning he gives them is very strongly spoken. So I invite you to follow along with me as I read this, the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will get into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. On the judgment day, many people will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and expel demons in your name and do lots of miracles in your name? Then I'll tell them, I've never known you. Get away from me, you people who do. Everybody who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise builder who built a house on bedrock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house. It didn't fall because it was firmly set on bedrock. But everybody who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice will be like a fool who built a house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house. It fell and was completely destroyed. When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he was teaching them like someone with authority and not like their legal experts. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let me invite you to bow your heads and pray for me this morning and sharing this word with you as I pray for you. And that God will open your heart and speak a word into your life today. God, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. So Jesus is quite clear in his warning. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will get into the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of God in heaven will enter. In other words, you can't just talk the talk, he's warning. You must also walk the walk. Because, he says, there are those who have called him Lord, but have denied him by their conduct. You all can think of people like that. I'm sure not any of us in here. They say they are followers of Christ, but their actions betray them. Their faith is dead because it doesn't result in good works. The affirmation of faith this morning says that our faith should manifest itself in the service of love that flows from our faith. And from what Jesus describes, it may even be that some of them, even though they're doing things that are deemed good, like expelling demons and doing miracles in the name of Christ. You saw that list. They are doing good, but still, Jesus condemns them. Jesus knows their hearts and that they are not doing these things in humble service to God, but instead they're being showy and grandstanding. Even those things that may be considered good deeds are condemned by Christ when done for the wrong reasons or with the wrong intentions. And then, did you hear Jesus' response in that situation? He says, then I tell them, I've never known you. Now, in the Bible, knowing a person implies a relationship. The word know is used to imply intimacy. Sometimes it's even used with regard to sexual relationships. Like in Genesis, where it says that Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. But other places, that word know is describes the relationship between God and human beings. It says about Moses, it talks about Moses saying, whom Yahweh knew face to face. So to know someone is to have a close relationship with them, not to know about them, but to know them. You know, have you ever, when you've been really disappointed or angry with someone, said, I don't even know who you are anymore? What Jesus is saying here to those who say that he is their Lord, but who do not live like it. He says, sadly, I don't even know who you are anymore. goes on to tell this parable about the two builders and to describe the difference between those who hear and act and those who only hear. It's all about the foundation. Years ago, when the church where Steve and I were serving was beginning to build its first facility on the property, we got word that there was a problem with the soil. We thought everything looked great. It was a big, flat, open field. But come to find out that there were stumps and debris buried on certain parts of the property. Well, you know what that means for a foundation. So we had to dig up the debris and then fill it in with fill dirt so we could make sure that we were building on a solid foundation. Here at Trinity, when we moved to this property, we found graves on the property. And so we were sure to care for those graves in a way that would honor the dead and also build them on a place with a strong foundation. It's all about the foundation. The builder who built his house on the sand surely thought that he was building in a good location. He was likely building in the wadi where it was flat and wide open and there was lots of sand that was very easy to be manipulated. And he built that house on the sand. And it was fine for a period of time. But you see, in Palestine, 70% of the rain falls in a period of 4 months, from November to February. And when the rains come and the water washes down the mountains and then into the wadis, and then what happens? Everything in its path is washed away, including any house built there. But the house built on the rock, well, when the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house, it did not fall. Now, just a side note, even those who build their houses on the rock, as Delaney said, will still experience the storms. Just because we build on the rock doesn't guarantee that we won't have storms. Everyone experiences accidents and tragedies and illnesses and death and loss of jobs and heartbreak. Being a follower of Christ doesn't make us protected from those storms. It only means that we can withstand them. But let's just get practical here. What does it mean to build on a solid foundation? How exactly do we do that? What does that look like for us today to build that house on the rock like the wise man? Jesus says that everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise builder. So, we might think that that means that hearing the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, we need to then put them all into practice. Then we will be a wise builder. But the Sermon on the Mount is not a list of things to do. That would simply make it a new law. And Jesus didn't come to abolish the old law and institute a new law. No, the Sermon on the Mount is not a list of new laws for us to follow. But think about it. How could we do that anyway? The Sermon on the Mount is a really tall order. How can we never get angry? How can we never lust? How can we always be like a light on a hill for someone to see? How can we always be humble and have the best of intentions? How can we forgive others like God has forgiven us? I know that's beyond my ability, beyond what I am able to do. But that's just it. The Sermon on the Mount is incomprehensible apart from the power of Christ. We could never do and never be all of these things if it were not for the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. The Sermon on the Mount is not a list of things to do. It is who we will be and what we will do when we are transformed by the grace of Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is who we will be when we are transformed by the grace of Christ. In John 15 it says, apart from me you can do nothing. So that's what it means. That's what Jesus is saying here. That his words are not really heard until he transforms our lives and then begins to direct our actions, or our actions flow out of that. That only happens when his words penetrate our hearts. So the next step for you is whatever it is that will strengthen your relationship with Christ, that will help you come to know him in an intimate way, that will help you to be more deeply rooted, to be built on a stronger foundation. Now is the time to practice your faith, to cultivate your listening skills, because it is through listening and deepening your relationship with Christ that then you will be transformed. So, four challenges for you. As you seek to deepen your roots, as you seek to listen and build a stronger foundation. One, I challenge you to pray. Not when you're driving and when you're around and about and all of that, but really to set aside time each day to pray. If you don't do that at all, start with 10 minutes. It will feel like an eternity to you, I get that, but start with 10 minutes. Set your timer on your phone so that you'll know, okay, set aside everything out of your mind and just listen. Rest in God. Offer up prayers and listen again. Listen to God. Second, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Don't take classes about reading your Bible or listen to people talk about what the Bible says, but read your Bible. If it has lots of these and thous in it, don't read it. Go get a new one that you can understand. And then spend time each day reading your Bible. Start with one chapter. It's usually like a column in the Bible. Start with one chapter a day. Steve challenged you last week to begin reading Philippians. If you didn't do that, start this week. Start reading Philippians, a chapter a day, and listen to God speak to you through the words of Scripture. Three, worship. Now, y'all are here, so I'm probably preaching to the choir, as they say. But make worship a priority in your life. It is so easy for it to get pushed out of the way by all of the other demands. People in town, going out of town, playing sports, watching sports. But it is here, in corporate worship together, that we sing the songs of our faith, we hear the word of God, we offer up prayers together, and we feel the presence and power of the Holy Spirit moving among us. So worship and make that a priority. And then four, be silent. When Steve and I were taking a sabbatical immediately before we came here, for the first time ever, we went on a silent retreat. retreat to a retreat center in South Georgia. We were there for 4 days. We had an hour of worship and an hour with a spiritual director. And other than that, we were silent and did not speak for 4 days. Do you know how amazing it is to hear God and feel God speaking to you and leading you when you block out all of the other noise? Phone, email, social media, TV, radio, people talking. When you block out all the noise, God can speak to us in powerful ways. So again, begin small. Take a walk out in the woods just for 10 minutes and be silent and look and listen. Be silent. One of my favorite hymns is "My Hope Is Built." That my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Y'all know it. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope for you is that you are not building on sinking sand. On what are you building? On what are you standing? My prayer for you, for us, is that we may put our trust only in the grace of Jesus Christ. And that our hope is built on nothing less than His righteousness. Gracious God, sometimes that sand looks so good and clear and flat and easy, and yet we know that it will not sustain us. So be with us, O God. Challenge us. Motivate us. May our will be your will. Help us to know you, to really, truly come to know you, so that following you will just naturally flow out of our lives. Oh God, we are so grateful for your grace, for the grace of Jesus Christ and His power to transform us. In His name that we pray. Amen.
Actually, before we come to the table, we have something we need to celebrate today.
I want to invite Wendy and John to come up here. Today they are making a commitment to profess their faith in Christ, to reaffirm their faith in Christ, and to become a part of this congregation. And so they are a living example of listening and trusting in God to transform their lives. So this is John Maxwell and Wendy Kinzer. And Wendy was saying this week, John is joining by reaffirmation of faith. And Wendy let us know this week, she said, "I've never joined a church before. I've never committed to become a part of a congregation she also said, and I recently found out that I was baptized as an infant in the United Methodist Church. And so that is evidence of God working in my life and waiting for me and wooing me and calling out to me. And she said, so now it really is an opportunity to come home. So let me invite you to say that to her one more time.
Welcome home. Another neat part of John and Wendy's story is that they met and kind of got connected to Trinity through the rebuilding ministry here that's a part of what Trinity offers. And so just neat to kind of see the journey that you all have been on and the opportunity to welcome you officially and formally as you take this step today. John and Wendy have been participating in recent weeks with some other friends in our Disciple Path class, which helps prepare people for membership in the life of the church. And all that leads toward a day like today when they have the opportunity to respond to questions affirming their Christian faith and their desire to live that out as a part of this congregation. So I ask you these questions. The first three you'll say, I do, in response to. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? And do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And as you answer these questions about becoming a part of Trinity and the United Methodist Church today, I'm going to ask you, congregation, those of you who are members, to join with them in responding, I will, as a way of reaffirming your own commitment to live these out. As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries?
I will.
And as members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? And would you join me now in saying a word of response to these friends and welcome them? We welcome you into our family of faith. We join you in reaffirming our commitment to the mission of this church to make disciples of Jesus Christ devoted to making a difference in the world. It is always good news when we get to do this, and we celebrate with you today. And let's take a moment and just pray together. Oh God, we give you thanks for John and Wendy, for their lives which are wrapped in your life and your love, for today as a moment of celebration and decision, and for all of us that we would join together in being a community that reflects your love to the world through ministry and service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Welcome. Thank you. Yeah. Welcome to John and Wendy. It is fitting that we then come to a table where there is always room for another, a table where we come to find grace and nourishment for our lives, a place where we remember Christ calling out to us, just as He did to those first disciples years ago. He keeps calling to us to listen, to respond, to rise and go out in faith. We remember here that on the night before Jesus died, He shared a final meal with His disciples. And at that meal, He took bread and He broke it. He gave it to them and said, take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. And after the meal, He took a cup and gave thanks. He shared it with them and said, take and drink all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it and gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for this table and for the blessing that it is from you to us. We pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us and on the gifts of the bread and the cup as we come to receive them. In these common, ordinary elements, may we recognize the presence of Christ and the gift of His life, His body and blood given up for our sake and for the sake of the world. Bind us together as we come to be one with You, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Until that day when we feast together at Your heavenly banquet table. Now all honor and glory be Yours, now and forever. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving this morning to come now to the altar rails to prepare to share the elements. Here in Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table of communion is a place that is wide open and welcome to all of us. It is because of God's grace that we are all invited to come. You'll see pairs of servers in front of the sections, and we invite you to come to the pair in front of your section or closest to you. Receive bread, and then take the bread and dip it into the cup. After you've received, you can return to your seats, or if you'd like, the altar rails and the kneeling benches here are always available. Let us come and celebrate this evening. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the mystery of your grace as we experience it here, for being nourished to rise and go out as your followers, to live according to your will, with hearts and lives set on a sure foundation. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Well, indeed, we have an opportunity now to stand up and sing, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Righteousness." And so let us sing it out. Knowing that God is your rock and salvation, that Jesus is the solid rock on which you stand, and may you know that the love of God is always with you, the grace